reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was not reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of Almighty God. Amen.
Thank you, Annie. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, and it's good to see new faces as well. It's kind of warm here. Take that off. Good to be with you, and I'm delighted just to see you again and having the opportunity to share God's word with you. Allow me maybe to start with a story, okay? We have hens at home. I'm not sure if anyone of you has hens at home. Anyone has hens at home? Yeah. All right, so plenty of hens. Usually we use an incubator to get chicks. You know, this time we had the clock and hens sitting, and usually I don't like it because it's just a mess. But anyway, so I let her sit, you know, she was sitting. As soon as the first chick hatched, what did she do? She left the other ones. That's what they usually do. So they obviously died, you know, the rest of the chicks. And that one survived because she completely devoted herself to that one chick. She was like, she would give her life for that chick. And I love that, you know, that dynamic in between the chick and the hen. I just love it to observe. From the first day, as soon as that hen, that chick is hatched, the hen is all over the chick. And it not only protects it, not only all the time around it, you know, but it also teaches the chick where to find food. It teaches the chick where to find water. It teaches the chick danger. I love the sound the chick would make, the hen does. That's like food here, you know. whatever, like, you know, warning of me coming in. I just love that dynamics just to observe. You know, that in some sense you could say it, maybe speaking in a, you know, in a human way, that hen is teaching the chick to become a real chicken. That's what it does. It helps to understand the chick what it means to be a chicken and how to behave as a chicken and how to live and survive as a chicken. Okay, that's what it does, really. At the end of the day, in some sense, when I think about our main topic today, which is the new life in Christ Jesus, that's what God does. That's what Christ Jesus does. The head of the church, he's teaching us who we are, and he's teaching us how to live our lives here on earth. So that's what we're looking at together, is this new life in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at our identity, we're going to look at our motivation for living with, as children of God, and we're going to look at our responsibility as children of God. Okay, like a hen is taking the time to teach the chick, we need times of teaching. Now, the chick, maybe it takes a couple of weeks, you know, a couple of months, maybe 2 months or something, until the chick is kind of, you know, independent more or less. It takes time for us as well. You know, it takes a long time for us as children of God to learn, to understand who we are, and to understand what it means to live with God, to understand what our responsibility is. In fact, I'm now, what is it now, over 20 years a Christian, and I'm still learning. It seems like I'm not getting it. It says God is like, hey, here, that's who you are, you know. Stay away from this, it's not good for you, you know. And he's teaching me more and more to help me to understand who I am in Christ Jesus and what it means to live for him. I think for many years, it's so natural to us, isn't it, to fall back. I think as Helen has prayed, into our self-righteousness, in our selfish ways. It's so natural. It's so easy. That's what we do. But we need Christ to come into our lives and through his word and through his spirit to teach us, to to show us again and again our identity, to show us again and again our motivation to live for him. It's not self-righteousness, not trying to achieve something. It's out of love and thankfulness and our responsibility as well. So let us look at our first, at our identity in Christ Jesus. That's what we see here in that passage there. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. So if you want to keep it open, that's where we'll be stuck this morning. I hope not too long, okay? But that's what we'll be looking at together. And so the first thing that we see here in verse 17, by the way, Paul is arguing here and he is defending his apostleship. You know, he is making this point. He's showing his integrity, you know, as an apostle. But he also, as he talks about it, he shows them who he is in Christ Jesus. And that way he is showing the people in Corinth who they are in Christ Jesus and what it means to live with him. Okay, so that's the bigger kind of a context there. But here, verse 17, our identity in Christ Jesus. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is what? He is a new creation. A new creation. Okay, he's a new creation. So what was the old creation? Ever wondered? What's our old creation? Flip over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 until 3, describes our old creation, our old nature. That's who we were without Christ. Here we read in Ephesians chapter 2, 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's the first description of our old nature. We were dead, meaning we had no life with God, but no life with Jesus, no life here, and no life for eternity. We were there as well to Christ, to his voice. We did not hear him. We did not respond to him. We were unable to do it as a dead person is, and able to respond to the things of life. That's a description of every single person, and of us as well. We're dead in our sins and our trespasses. In addition to that, what does it say there? Following up, verse 2, in which you once walked, following the curse of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of our body, of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Big words there, but just simply said, we were controlled by our own sinful passions, by our selfishness, about our self-righteousness. That's what controlled us. Our selfishness and our self-righteousness. We did not care about God. We did had no life. We had no interest in God. What we cared about was I and me and mine and all of those things. And if we thought about God, we thought, you know what? I can't be good enough. That was our self-righteousness. That's what we cared about. So you know what? God will not, you know, God will not push me away. I'm actually a good person. No, I deserve to be with God, you know. That's what we thought. That's what the sinful nature does. That's where we're so proud that we thought we could reach the standard of God. So proud that we thought, you know what, God, we don't need you. We know better. That's selfishness. And those both things we see in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? That's what Satan did. He was proud. He was selfish. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. Those two things, selfishness and pride and self-righteousness, is, you could say, on the core of our sinful nature. And that's who we were without Christ Jesus. Friend, let me throw in something here, you know, something negative maybe. But that's who you are if you are not in Christ Jesus. Just think about it. That's who you are if you're not in Christ Jesus. You're dead, spiritually speaking. Meaning you have no life with God. It's like a plant that is cut off. What happens to that plant? It's doomed, isn't it? It's doomed. And that's who we are without Christ Jesus. Cut off from life. Cut off from Christ. The life giver. The life sustainer. Also controlled by sin, Satan, and death. That's why you're not thinking about Jesus. That's why you're not convicted about the wrong things you do. That's why you're just living your life your own way. Doing your own thing. Why? Because you're dead and controlled by sin, Satan, and death. But what is the warning in this passage here? We were children of wrath. Talking about the wrath of God. It's an eternal wrath. It's an eternal separation from life. Eternal separation from the life giver. Eternal separation from the blessing of God. The blessing of being his child. The blessing of being beloved. The blessing of being cared for. The blessing of being blessed with every spiritual blessing, as it says in Ephesians. Being cut off from that for eternity. This is what suffering really is all about. Why do you think people commit suicide? Because they lose all hope. They lose all joys. They lose, you know, the lack of understanding what life is all about. They don't see any sense in it. And being separate from God, that's what it is. It's being separate from all those blessings. It's quite severe. Let that be a wee warning there to you. If you're not in Christ Jesus, that's who you are. You're heading into eternal separation from God. But this is, you are a new creation. That's who you were. But now you are new people. You are now in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just flip over there. And I'm just briefly mentioning it here. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the blessings of God that he has given to his children. He says, you are, look at me in verse 4, even as he has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means you've been beloved by God before he even created the world. That you should be holy and blameless before him. So if you are in Christ Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus, he sees you as holy and blameless because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you. Look at verse 5. He predestined us. He chose us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus. He adopted you as his son. As Jesus is the son of the Father, so you have been adopted as a son to the Father. Just think about it for a second. That is absolutely mind-blowing, mind-boggling, that God would accept you and me to be his son like Jesus is his son. That Jesus is his son. Now, do you think the Father will ever stop loving Jesus? What do you think? No. Come on. No. Never. And if you're in Christ Jesus, what does it mean for you? God will never stop loving you. He will never cut you off as his son or as daughter. Because you are his son, like Jesus is his son. Wow. That's who you are. This is a description of your new identity. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. It's being declared holy and blameless. Imagine you, sinner, me, sinner. Like, I know my sin. Like, whew, I would crawl under the floor, you know. That's how severe it is. And that's not nothing in comparison to how God sees my sin. And yet, because of what Jesus has done, he says, you are in my sight as clean and as unblemished as Jesus himself is. And you are my son, my daughter, forever. Then, as we go on, in him we have verse 7. In him we have the redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. I love this next word, which he lavished. It's not just given, you know. Not just borrowed. Not just, I have it here for a week. No, he lavished continuously that grace, that love, that compassion. Grace, by the way, means to get things undeserved. And he gives that undeserving grace, lavishes, like, on us. You know that bucket challenge? That water that lashed on the people, especially if they used to dig in buckets. I love that one. That's so much. This is what grace is, and more. And boom, you know, it just lavishes upon us without end, like, you know. That's what God does. And then I'm not going to read that passage, but as he goes on, he's sealed up with the Holy Spirit. You know, he's sealed that with the Holy Spirit, saying, you are mine forever. You're mine forever. Friends, this is our new identity in Christ Jesus. We are new in a sense of we are now spiritual being. We have been raised to a new life. Because we are now in Jesus, we have life. Because we're in Christ Jesus, we are secure. Because in Christ Jesus, we are beloved. We are holy and blameless. This new life is different to the world. Remember, as we talked about the world? It's controlled by sin and passions. This new life is different to the world. it's been controlled by Christ, by His Spirit. It's controlled by His words. It's a new way of living. And friends, everyone who has this new life knows that, isn't it? Because if you think about your life before you met Jesus, and you think about your life now, you could say there is a difference. And some of you may be thinking, you know what, I struggled so bad the last month, year, I don't even know if there's a difference. And yet you do know that desire, you know what, I hate actually the things I'm doing here. I don't want to displease God. I want to obey. I want to live His way. I want to just love Him and just do the things He tells me. And yet I do find myself again and again falling back in the same things that I hate. Is that what Paul said? Is that I love God and I want to obey Him and I follow Him. And yet I find myself living in the flesh. You see, because we're still living in this in-between, you could say, we feel that wrestle. We feel that wrestle with sin in our flesh, in our mind, you could say. We want to obey God, we want to live His way, and yet we find ourselves so often still living our own way, still going our own way. This is you could say, a reality of a new creation. By the way, someone who is not a new creation does not know that reality. They're just bathing in their own passions and lusts. They don't care. You know, I mean, if I think about my own, I don't care what other people think. Just do whatever I think is right and want. But someone who has the Spirit, and friend, let that be an encouragement to you, especially if you struggle with sins and you fall in the same thing again and again. Or maybe you're just distracted and you're just at the minute walking your own way, but deep down in your heart, you're like, ah, I know it's not right. You know why you know what's right? Because you are a new creation. And because you're a new creation, the Spirit now lives in you. You have this new life. And this Spirit says, no, you are not here in the right place. I have created you to live in a new way. That's where you're longing to be with Jesus. That's where you're longing for hope and peace and joys and satisfaction. All those things are only found in Jesus. That's where you're unsatisfied with your life. Because it's only found in Jesus. Friends, this very briefly, this is what it means to be in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We have hope. We have real security. We have a new nature that comes to the Spirit that pushes us towards, encourages us to live in this new way. Okay? Our new identity in Christ Jesus. And then let's look at our motivation. So how do we live out that identity? And I think that's where I struggled for so many years. How do we live out my identity in Christ Jesus? Yes, I believed. Yes, I wanted to live with Jesus. And then what do we do next? Now I have to be good. Did you ever do that? Oh, I believe in Jesus. He died for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, so much. And now I have to work and try to fix it and try to keep this good relationship with Jesus going. But this is not the right motivation. Because that motivation disappointed me every day, every week. Because I came to the end, you know, of my strength. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I just can't do it, you know. I just can't do it. Let us look at the motivation that Jesus is teaching us. And the way to do that is look at verse 18. I love that verse 18. Oh, I just love it so much. Verse 18, what does it say there? Again, think about the context. New identity in Christ Jesus. All those blessings, all those things Jesus has done for us. Verse 18, what does it say? All this, I love this, all this is from God. All this new identity, all the acceptance and the holiness and the blamelessness and the relationship with Him and the Spirit in us and all this life that God gives us is not yours. You didn't do it. It's not your, you know, your efforts. It's not your work. No, it's all this is from God. Is that not freeing? When I understood that, that was so freeing. My relationship does not depend on me. My relationship with Jesus does not depend on my strength or my smartness or my hard working. That relationship, as I tell my children, will never change. Even if my children behave really, really badly. Even if they disobey. Even if they do the worst thing and hurt me in the worst way. My relationship to them will never change. And our relationship with Jesus is secure and safe because of Jesus, not because of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we can live whatever way we want, but it means that our relationship does not depend on us. It depends on God. All this comes from Him. Look with me in verse 18. He through Christ, so God the Father, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is in Christ. God was reconciling the world, talking about Ephesians 2, the dead, the driven by passions and lust, those who are doomed to eternal wrath, yeah, the world. He's reconciled the world, where are we, to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then verse 21, look at me. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That in Him we might not become the unrighteous people who follow their own passion, live their own way, but who be declared as right and holy and blameless. This is amazing. All this comes from God. We did not ask God the Father to give Jesus for us. We did not counsel Him, Jesus, God, you know, we have sinned, and if you send your perfect Son and He dies for us, you know, then it's good. We did not counsel Him. We did not tell Him. We did not ask Him. We did not work for Him. We did not, you know, go to church or do achieve in any shape or form that. We did not influence God the Father, with other words. Nothing in us could influence God the Father to do anything for us. It was His free love. Free love for you. And listen to this one. When He saw you in your deepest sin, in your deepest sin, He knew that you as a child of God will suffer. And that He knew that you as a child of God will go your own way. He knew that you as a child of God will disobey Him and, you know, fall back in the same sin again and again. He knew everything about you. And yet, He says, yes, I want you to be my child. And I'm going to take my Son. He will pay for all your sins so that you can be my child. So we have not influenced God in any shape or form. No, He, out of His own free will, you could say, out of His love and grace for us, decided to give Jesus for us. He has raised us from spiritual deadness. We didn't do it. Now, because dead people don't say, hey, I want to live. That's not working. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2? After we read the spiritual deadness, you know, like the chapter 2, 1 and 3, it says in verse 4, I love that verse as well, it says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. God decided to step into our spiritual deadness, in our selfishness and self-righteousness, in our doomed eternity, and to raise us to a new life with God. That's how we got a new creation. We thought about Nicodemus there in the song. Okay? Jesus says, you need to become a new creation. How is that possible? He says, only when the wind, the Spirit works. It's the grace of God. So God has to come in into your life and has to bring new life. But if you are a child of God, just remember it is God who has given you that new life. It's He who stepped in. You didn't do it. Okay, out of His accord, out of His love. And then He reconciled us to Himself. We were enemies. We're living our own way. And yet God steps in and says, you know what? I want to make peace with you. I know you are against me. And I know that you're sinning against me. But I personally want to make peace with you. It's God who reconciled us to Himself. And in verse 21, God makes Jesus, that is crazy, sin for you. All that sin that you do and did and will do was put on Jesus. So when God the Father looked at Him, He saw Him as sinful as you are. And Jesus took that sin, as it says, so that you and me will become the the righteousness of God. So that you become right in God's eyes, acceptable, loved, clean, pure. It was because God made Jesus sin for you. That's crazy. Now think about all those things that God has done for you and for me, for us, out of his own accord. We did not ask him, we did not work for it. What does it do with your heart? What will you say? How will you respond? Let me hear something. We're a big family here. What does it do with your heart? Jesus knowing all about your sin, not that's not holding him back from you, but no, actually he comes and he dies and he rescues, he gives you new life. He declares you as right and holy and blameless and acceptable. And he says, I am committed to you forever. I'm committed to you forever. I write this every day, very means covenant. God has made this loyal covenant with me. I don't deserve it, but he has made it. He is committed to me forever. What does it do in my heart? What does it do in your heart? Does that not stir up love towards God? Mm-hmm. Does that not stir up thankfulness towards God? Mm-hmm. And friends, this is the only motivation that should move us to live out our new identity. It's out of love and out of thankfulness. It's not out of, I have to, or I need to be this way or that way. We need to understand what God has done for us. And when we understand that, and understand who we are now in Christ Jesus, we will feel that love and we'll feel that thankfulness towards God, which will move us to live out our new identity. And freeing, believe me, it's a much freeing, or it's a much joyful way. I'm not sure that's the proper English, but anyway, it's a joyful way, joyful way of living with Jesus. Because you're not earning your relationship with him. You're not working to get his acceptance. No, you already know you're accepted. You already know you're loved. And you just, out of that relationship and love towards him, want to live in his way and want to put him first in your life. So that's the second thing that we see. We are seeing our identity, our motivation, and now we come to our responsibility in verse 20. What does it say there in verse 20? Actually, those verses are very known, isn't it? The passage close here now. And it says, therefore, we are ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents. So, therefore, because of God, what God has done, and because of now this new love for him and thankfulness that we have, he says, therefore, you are ambassadors. You're not forced ambassadors, you know, to represent Christ. No, we are out of love and thankfulness for God, for Christ. We are ambassadors. An ambassador, he represents Christ. And he says, well, God is making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ. And that's what an ambassador does. He lives on behalf of Christ. And he speaks on behalf of Christ. And look what happens then if we do that. So on behalf of Christ, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So whenever we live on behalf of Christ and speak on behalf of Christ, it's Christ himself working in the life of other people. It's Christ himself bringing life and hope to other people. It's Christ himself who encourages and blesses other people. So our responsibility is to be ambassadors, to live for Christ, to represent him, as it says. But also, to encourage one another. Is that not what Paul is just doing here? He is writing to them. And what is he doing? He's encouraging the believers. And how is he encouraging them? He's showing them their identity. He's showing them their motivation. And he's showing them their responsibility. That's what discipleship is all about. And so we are not only to be ambassadors to the world, but we also to be ambassadors to one another. As we have sung, and I think as it says well here in your verse, Colossians 3:16, we are to encourage one another with psalms and songs and words. And we encourage and to help each other to see our identity in Christ Jesus, to see what our real motivation should be and what our responsibilities are. Kind of, we could really sum up this whole passage, Matthew 28, isn't it? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples, teaching them everything that he has commanded us. And remembering that he is always with us. So, let's go back to the hen. What will happen with the chick out in the wild? I'm not talking about those incubated. They will survive. But even the incubated, you have to show them where water is. Because some of them just don't find it. You have to kind of take their beak and put them in the water, like, you know. So what will happen with the chick in the wild? What will happen with the chick that decides to go their own way? Decides not to take shelter under the wings of the hen when there's danger. Decides, you know what? Mommy says I should eat this, but I'm going to eat this. What will happen to the chick? What do you think? It will not survive long. It might get sick. It might survive. But it certainly gets sick. If it doesn't get the shelter, it'll get cold. And if it gets cold, it can die. So God, in his wisdom, has given to that chick a hen. And that hen is teaching, helping the chick to become a real chicken that is able to live, not a real chicken, grown-up chicken, mature chicken, that is able to live the way it was designed. The same way God has given us his word. And through his word, he is telling us who we are and how we are to live. And if we think in our prideness that we know better, and that we can live life without the food that God, in all his wisdom, is providing for us, without his instruction, we think we can go our own way and do our own thing, we're strongly mistaken. Look to the chick. It will not survive. You're in danger. In fact, if you are living that way, if you're thinking you don't need to take the shelter, you shelter or trust in Christ Jesus and his promises. If you think you don't need to listen to his word and instruction, if you think you can do it in your own way, you are living in danger. Because there are many dangers out for the chick. Not only rats and mice and his birds and wrong foods and all stuff that can poison you. So let that be a little warning as well at the same time. It's an encouraging and a warning to run to our shepherd, to run to Jesus. Because as we run to him, he will teach us what our identity really is. He will teach us how to live the right motivation. And he will help us to live out our responsibility as his children, as his ambassadors. Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we thank you for this simple, so well-known passage in many ways, but such an important, Lord, I confess that I'm still understanding so little of it. Lord, teach us, please, what it truly means to be your child, what it truly means to have this new identity now in you, what it truly means that we have already spiritual, eternal life, what it means that you live in us through your Spirit. Lord, teach us and overwhelm us with this truth of our new identity in you as being adopted and beloved from eternity past, as being cared for, as being sealed the Holy Spirit, as being forgiven and cleansed from all our unrighteousness, from all our sins. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. But teach us to understand it more. Let it affect our every fiber of our being, Lord. Lord, I pray as well that you would help us to have the right motivation of living for you. Lord, you have given us this new life so that we would live out of free choice and love and thankfulness with you, rather than of pressure and just blatant obedience. No, Lord, you want a loving relationship with us. And so we pray, Lord, that we would live with you out of love, because we understand what you have done for us and who we are now in you, out of thankfulness towards you. Remember that. Help us, Lord, to remember that, especially when we feel distracted, and when we feel we want to go our own way, when we feel that we want to do it in our own works. Help us to remember, no, it's out of love and thankfulness we want to live with you. Lord, thank you that you, the Holy God, want to use us to be your ambassadors, mm-hmm. reflect you. I mean, how amazing is that? And in fact, as we reflect you, you yourself will make your appeal through us. That's mind-blowing. You'll be speaking through us and through the words you'll be sharing from your word. Lord, help us to remember that and act and live as your ambassadors. Let us use the moments and situations that you give us to point people to you. Lord, help us as well to encourage one another. Help us steer one another up to love and living with you. Help us disciple one another. Help us build up one another. Help us to carry each other's burden. Help us to be a blessing to one another. Lord, thank you for the good work that you have begun in us and that you have promised that you will finish it. Thank you, Lord. We're looking forward to that time. We'll stand before you and we will praise you and worship you and thank you for everything that you have done in our lives. Now you have blessed us. Now you have carried us. And now you have forgiven us again and again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.